two passages of Scripture here. Proverbs chapter 19 and then James chapter 3. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Encourage you to be remembering our pastor in prayer. I would say give him a call, but that probably ain't a good idea. He's trying to rest. He's on medicine that's got him sleeping. But send him a card or something, or let him know you're thinking about him and praying for him. Maybe a text message or something, or maybe send it to Sister Kincaid's phone. Just overwhelm her. But praise God. Above all, keep him in our prayers and the other needs that's been mentioned as well, especially Brother and Sister Bollinger. Praise God. I want to preach a continuation that I preached here a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. I don't remember now exactly how long it's been, but about the unruly evil. And looking here in James chapter 3 and then Proverbs chapter 19. Look at James first, starting at verse 5 of chapter 3. It says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a member a little fire kindleth. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God." And then over in Proverbs chapter 19, in verse number 9, it says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." I want to preach the second part, the unruly evil. I want to preach on the thought, the lie. The lie. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are here and moving in our hearts and lives, Lord. There's no doubt that we feel your presence, that you are here and moving in our hearts and lives, Lord. You're here to encourage and help, Lord, your people, God. I ask you to continue to work, Lord, through me in the ministering of your word, what you've laid upon my heart. I ask you to anoint these lips of clay and help me, Lord, to preach this as you would have me preach it, God. Move in these altars, God. Have your way and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just about forgot, but there is no ministers' meeting tomorrow night. It is moved to next Thursday, yeah. So pass the word along to anybody that's not here that comes to that. Praise God. I want to preach about the unruly evil, the lie. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they like to lie. And I think that's just a part of growing up. It don't matter. You know, we can all think back about whenever we were kids, and we could all probably think back to something that we lied about. And sometimes we may have got by with it, and of course we all know that there's times, Sister Dorothy, that we didn't get by with it. And, you know, I can remember a time where I lied about things and never got caught. Got by with it. Scot-free. And there's things I'm sure, Brother... Brother G. Hall, that I don't even remember that I got by with, the things that I did get caught with. But you know, it doesn't make it okay that we didn't get caught. If anything, when we lie and get by with it, it does more damage and more harm to us. I've been talking to an individual just here recently about this very thing about lying. They're not here tonight, so I'm not preaching to them. But they have let one lie lead to another lie, to lead to another lie, to lead to another lie. And it gets to the place that we've all been told. What is it that our parents probably has told us all? You tell one lie, it leads to another lie. And then it leads to another lie. And we've all met people that they'll lie just in the middle of a story and have no reason. I mean, of course, we all know we don't have a reason, but they're not trying to cover something up. And they'll just let one lie. And I mean, I've met people, they be telling a story, and I know part of the story, or I may even know the whole story. And when they get done, I'm sitting there thinking, well, they just lied about half this stuff they just told, because that is not the way it happened. I was there, or I heard the person that they heard it from. But you know, lying can get us into trouble. But before I go on any further, let's recap about the unruly evil that we talked about the previous week. Because I don't want us to get ahead or get behind. But when I preached last, we didn't talk about the lie necessarily. We talked about the unruly evil, just talking about the tongue itself, how it talks about here in James. And lying is part of what it's talking about here, but we didn't talk about that. In recapping about what we talked about a few weeks ago, we learned that our tongue is an unruly evil, and it is full of deadly poison. Now, no doubt our tongue has got every one of us into trouble. There's things that we've lashed out at people and said. There's things that we've lashed out at our companion, our spouses, our children. I mean, the list goes on and on. People we work with, the people that we're just passing by in the grocery store or checking us out at the stand or going through the drive-thru, they take too long, or we're at a red light and the person don't go quick enough and, "Let's go already!" You know? I mean, we've all done it. Our tongue can get us into trouble. Now, that probably didn't get us into trouble, you know, because the people in front of you didn't hear. Or if you're, someone cuts you off, "You idiot." Yeah, you know, that's not some big sin. I, it may not be any sin, but, you know, it becomes a sin when you're teaching your 2 and 3 or 4 year old kid not to say it, and, you know, "And we don't say that word." "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's amazing what they catch. But, you know, it's not just about those little things. And we do need to be careful. But I'm talking about when it says full of deadly poison, I think we all know that we can really get ourselves into some big trouble. There's times where we lash out and we say things that we shouldn't say in a moment of rage, in a moment of anger, in a moment of bitterness. And, you know, then we try to cover it up and say, "Well, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to say it." But, you know, when you really stop and think about it and you study what the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And, you know, there's something that when it begins to talk and something so hateful and so bitter and so rude and angry comes out and says such evil, hateful things that it's almost the same as taking a gun and shooting them or stabbing them with a knife. That just didn't something that just rose up out of nowhere and you can apologize. No, that's something that rose up out of the bottom of the heart. Now, I know that's not easy to hear probably for any of us. Because we're guilty, all of us are guilty. Hopefully we're letting the Lord help us. But we got to realize that it says our tongue is full of deadly poison. I mean, it kills. It kills to the heart. And the same thing applies not just with when we're at home or out and about, but the same thing applies right in the church house. I mean, there's things that people say to each other in the church that it cuts them. There's people that, as I mentioned when I preached this before, there's people that's not sitting in our pews because of something that somebody else has said to them. No, not everybody. I can rest assure you, there's somebody that's not here. And there's more than just one. There's somebody's that, and maybe they got their feelings hurt over something they shouldn't have. But regardless, is something has been said. And a lot of times, that people take things wrong. Or it's a misunderstanding on one party or the other. But what happens? It winds up killing somebody. Spiritually, it kills them and they lose out with God. Everybody doesn't go and repent. Everybody doesn't go and say, "Hey, I have ought against you. I'm mad at you. I'm hurt because of what you said." And if they did, that would eliminate a lot of the problems. But nevertheless, people don't do as the Bible says. And so they hold on to these things and they let them destroy them and let them tear them down. So, Brother Armstrong, if they're supposed to go to me, I didn't know I offended them. I can't do anything about it. Well, if we had been working on this deadly poison situation that we have and never let that be released, we might not ever be in this circumstance. What I'm trying to get us to see is we all have this deadly poison within us. And it doesn't, when we come down and get saved and pray through, it doesn't leave. We still battle with our tongue. We still have a problem there. I'm not saying that you can't get help from God. I'm not saying you can't get deliverance. What I'm saying is we still battle with that thing day in and day out. Let me move on. We have to remember and realize that it is a very powerful and deadly thing. It is very powerful. Not just that it's deadly, but we have to realize the power that comes behind that deadly poison. That it kills, that it does, I mean, there's such power there. It's not just that it's full of the deadly poison, but that it actually does kill and that it is so powerful, the destruction that it does. We also learned about that there should be blessings and not cursing. There isn't the fountain that bringeth forth sweet water and bitter water. If you go out here to the water fountain, you're going to get some good cold water, hopefully. Unless somebody's been there drinking it right before you got there and it may not be quite as cold. But you're not going to go out there and push that button and something brown come out of it unless there's something drastically wrong. But you know what? There's a lot of times that we push somebody's button the wrong way and we see that something drastically wrong because something brown and nasty comes out flowing. We have to realize that our tongue is full and powerful of deadly poison. And the scripture, our text tells us that it kindleth just a little fire. It turns into a wildfire. It becomes something that's untamable. It becomes something that's so fierce that we don't know what to do because it starts off as just something small, but it so easily grows into something big. You know, every year, California, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, these different states, every year, wildfires. Texas, I mean, it seems like you'd think these people would just move out of that place and just let the whole place burn up. But no, they stay there, they battle it, which I probably would too if it was my home and that's where I lived. But, you know, it spreads. But you know what? It starts off somewhere with somebody either throwing a cigarette butt out or somebody at a campfire not properly putting their campfire out or just somebody being goofy and doing something dumb, you know, trying to burn the pasture when it's, you know, dry. Or somebody intentionally starting a fire. And all those things can pertain to the same thing in the spiritual realm. There's people that intentionally start stuff, yeah. There's people that intentionally do things. But there's also just the little things. And it goes on in the spiritual and in church, and it goes on at home and everywhere else, the little things. It will spread because of what the power that was within our tongue. Finally, the scripture says, but the tongue can no man tame. We learn that the tongue cannot be tamed by man. And when I preached this, and the last time I ended it with that right there. I didn't end the message right there, but I ended saying that the tongue cannot be tamed. The scripture says that very thing. It says in James 3:8, says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Okay, it's talking about that right there. And this is in the book of James. And, you know, I don't believe he's talking to a bunch of unbelievers. I believe he's talking to some Christians here. But what I want you to realize is he says, but the tongue can who? No man tame. And I just got through saying that when we become a Christian, that we still, when we get up from the altar, we still have our tongue and we still battle with that. And how do I know that? I know it for one, from experience. Number two, I know it from examples of other Christians. People don't always get delivered of that tongue. And I told him last time, Brother Parsons, I don't know if he was here. We've all heard the story or probably heard it or met people like that where the I don't know why it's a lady, but the story's told as a lady. There's men the same way. They talked about the lady that had a problem with gossiping so bad that finally she brought her tongue in and laid it up on the altar and wanted it anointed with oil. Her tongue. Because she gossiped so bad. Because it was an unruly evil. But you know, it says that no man can tame it. It don't matter what we do within our power and how bad we try to get it under control. You know what? We're not going to be able to do it until we get to an altar, whether it be at church or whether it be at our home, wherever it may be, out in the field, wherever we find a place to meet God and get a hold of God and let God do something with this tongue of ours, we're still going to have that problem. But I believe if we find that altar and we get a hold of God, I believe God can insert that bit. You read on down in James, it talks about the horses, how they have bits in their mouth. I believe for sure that God can help us tame that thing. Or not help us, He just simply do it. It can be tamed by God and God alone. Without God, it ain't going to happen. That's what we talked about on the unruly evil. But there's another unruly evil that I done told you about, and that's the lie. And I want to talk to us tonight about the lie. And I want to read there in James 3, and I want to read verse 5 and 8 again, if I could. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. But the tongue can no man tame, and is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, the Bible speaks very clearly about people that tell lies and liars. It speaks very clearly. And, you know, it speaks very clearly, too, about another thing that I spoke of to the youth about the unruly tongue, and that's about how we talk. You know, there's people that, you know, claim to be Christians. They cuss, they say curse words and stuff, and they act like they're still Christian. I don't believe they are because of what it just said a while ago. There's not going to be good water and bad water coming out the same fountain. But there's a lot of Christians, though, Brother Boyer, that they don't know how to reverence the Lord's name. And, you know, there's a lot of people that go around, and I don't cuss, and I'm not cussing, but I am going to say these words because I want people to realize what they're saying, okay? So, don't fall out with me. But there's a lot of people that are Christians, and I'm not saying they call themselves a Christian, and I'm talking about if you listen to people right here in our church, you'll hear people sometimes say these things. And I don't know if it's they haven't been taught or if they haven't looked it up in a Webster's dictionary or if they don't know what it means. But, well, let me ask you this. We don't go around, Brother Boyer, I don't go around saying that I'm gay. I could be as happy as I want to be, and that's what the word also means, is being happy. But I don't go around telling them that I'm gay, Brother G-Haw, because I don't want them to think that, you know, I'm funny. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, when it comes down to saying gosh, golly, gee whiz, it's all okay. Well, that's not really what that means. That don't really mean God. That don't really mean taking, that's not really taking the Lord's name. Or that's not what I mean by it. When it talks about our tongue being an unruly evil, if I was going to let my tongue go and be an unruly evil, I would not let it go, Brother G-Haw, and offend God of all people. And it talks about that we're not to take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And our mouth can get us into a lot of trouble with other people, but we need to watch how we let our mouth go with the names of God. If you'll look them up, and I have to say this, I will say this, I've looked them up. You got to watch what dictionary you look them up in, because you know, it's kind of like a lot of the different versions that we have now. They leave stuff out. But you look up in a dictionary, you get one, it'll tell you, you know, it really means God. Or it's a shortened phrase for Him. So, Brother Armstrong, what does that have to do? Well, because it's an unruly evil. It's an unruly evil that people, if they're not careful, that they'll live the lie and try to say that everything's okay. Follow me where I'm going here. Don't get left behind. But our tongue can get us into a lot of trouble. And there's a lot of people that they don't want to look and see that what the Bible says about certain things because, well, they don't want it to pertain to them. And when it gets to what I'm about to talk about, the lie, sometimes that happens with it. Now, in Psalm 63 and 11, it says very clearly about lying. It says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. shall be stopped. Now Proverbs 19:5, it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. We're talking about people that speak lies. Over in Mark 10:19, it says, and knowest the commandments, and do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. That refers to lying. Defraud not. That refers to lying. Honor thy father and thy mother. Revelations 21:8. It says this, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all, A-L-L, all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's pretty cut and dry. If you speak lies, the Bible says you will be stopped. You will not escape. You will be in the lake of fire. I mean, it's very cut and dry. I mean, it says it plain and simple. You say, well, and that's where I got off talking about taking the Lord's name in vain. It says, don't take the Lord's name in vain. But people like to go ahead and do, well, what are you getting at, Brother Armstrong? Well, what about when we want to tell just a white lie? You ever heard of a white lie? It's not very white. Just a tiny lie. Now, I mentioned this the other day in the youth. A couple weeks back, I used this illustration, and they about got me into trouble. But you know, for you men and you ladies, how many times have you ladies put on something and you go and ask your husband, well, how do I look? What do you think about this? Now, you're wanting him to tell you the truth, Sister Seaman. You're laughing so I can refer to you. You're wanting the truth to some degree, but you don't want him to tell you the whole truth. You don't want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then, you know, three of them went up to my wife. I don't think you're fat, Sister Armstrong. I said, I told them the next one. I said, I never said that she was fat. I said, that is not what I think. That is not what I said. But what happens is, and it works on both sides. I mean, I've gone up and asked my wife, you know, what do you think about this tie with this shirt or whatever? And, yeah, it looks nice. I mean, you didn't even look at it. You didn't even look for it. Yeah, I looked at it, you know, maybe out of the corner of your eye, but really, what, you know. But you know, when a lady stands there, she's asking about 15 different questions a lot of times. And you got to watch the way you answer. And I told those young people, I said, let me tell you, I said, you know, and I'm just going to tell you what I said. I said, you know, they're asking you, do I look skinny? Do I look fat? Do I look ugly? Do I look attractive? Does this make me look this way or does it make me look that way? I said, but you don't just want to, I said, first of all, I said, I'm not going to lie to my wife. I said, but there's ways to go about, you know, telling them. I mean, you don't just say, that's the ugliest looking thing I've ever seen you put on in my life. That probably ain't going to go over too well. You know, I mean, there's ways of saying, but people will just flat out lie. Oh, that looks good, babe. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, and we laugh and we get tickled, but church, a lie is a lie. And I know I may be, you know, you may be thinking, Brother Armstrong, you're really stretching her out there. No, I want us to realize that we need to think about the things that we may lie about and try to say, well, I was just kidding, or I was just that, or I was just that. A lie is a lie. In Proverbs 12:17, it says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Now think about that. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Now, he that speaketh forth truth, even in the small things, if you're going to speak truth, and you're going to speak it all the time, and you're going to do really what's right, you're showing forth righteousness. But you know what? It talks there, a false witness. Another place it mentioned there, it talked about don't bear false witness, don't defraud. You know, there's ways that when we think we're doing something, we're being a false witness. We're defrauding. We're not telling the whole truth. We're deceiving. We're leading or portraying something differently than what it really is. And you know that we call those white lies or little lies, but those are the things that the Bible also calls us the little foxes and different things like that, that it's going to get us into real big trouble one day. We're not here struggling with... We're not here on a Wednesday night in AA, Alcohol Anonymous. We're not here all with ankle bracelets on work release or house arrest. We're not talking big things. Because for Christians, it's never the big things that get us into trouble usually. It's the small things. Acts 24 and 16 says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void." Think about this, to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." We're very careful that we don't want to offend God. But are we careful not to offend one another? Are we careful not to offend and lie one another? In Acts 5, chapter 5, starting at chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about the story there of Ananias and Sapphira. And it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and they kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privately to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was not thine in thine own power?" He says, "Hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell dead and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much?" And she said, yes, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men carried her out, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear come upon all of the church, and upon as many as heard these things." It's not just a nice story. And those people just didn't give up the Holy Ghost, but they gave up living. They're dead in the grave. But you know, the devil, the Bible says, got them to lie. They agreed together to lie. And you know, I don't know how, it doesn't say very clearly how religious they were. And this is coming to mind here. And I haven't studied and know anything very much about them. But you know, I don't think that they were just out and out sinners. Sounds to me like they knew a little bit about the Lord. I mean, why did you agree to lie to the Holy Ghost? It sounds to me like they knew a little bit of something about God. And how many times have we agreed together within amongst ourselves? I'm not talking about I get with you or you go. I'm talking about just Matt Armstrong gets together with myself, and I begin to talk to myself. I conjure it up. I plan this out. And I get me, myself, and I. and I lie to the Spirit of God. For example, Sunday night I called for those that needed prayer. I mean, it would be easy for somebody to sit in a pew and say, I ain't got nothing to matter with me. I mean, I don't need healing, or I don't need deliverance, or I don't need whatever a person may need. Just like in this service tonight, when the Spirit of the Lord was moving in our time of worship and in prayer. I mean, the Lord was here moving in hearts, wanting to help somebody. I mean, it would be easy to say, well, I ain't got nothing to matter with me. I mean, I can assure you there's probably people here that when you left your house, between somewhere there and probably pulling in on the road next to McDonald's right up there, somewhere there a mask got put on your face and there's a front on because of how you're really feeling tonight. Not saying that you're trying to act like, you know, you're saved and you're back, so I'm not saying something like that. I'm just saying because just life is so rough right now. You're going through it. You're going through the storm, and you've got a mask on making it seem like everything's okay when it's not. But it's in those times that a lot of times church people lie to the Spirit of God, and they don't respond to the drawing of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost when He's saying, come, yield yourself to me, let me help you. There's a lot of people that they are living a lie. Brother Parsons, if you'll come back to the music. There's a lot of people that they are living a lie. It's easy to think, well, Ananias and Sapphira, that was a long time ago. I haven't seen anybody being dropped dead lately. I'm okay. God's not still judging people that way. I haven't seen anybody that I know that God struck them dead. I can't say there's this person here. But I can tell you that I'm not going to be deceived. That there's some question marks on some people's lives because I know how they've lived. I know how they have done the Lord. And I know some things that, no, they're still living, but I know some things that's happened. And it makes me wonder, that may not just be raining on the just and the unjust. That may just be God's judgment coming down on those people. I'm not one to doom and gloom that every time something happens, you know, you've sinned or anything. But let me tell you, we pass the buck too many times, church, that, you know, when we do mess up and we try to act like, you know, well, God doesn't judge us that way anymore. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's the thing. What happened when Ananias and Sapphira died? Great fear fell upon the church. It said great fear. Yeah, great fear fell upon all the church. Now you think about that. When you think about that, was that so that they were scared to go to sleep at night? No, it was that, hey, I better make sure my house is in order. Hey, I better make sure I'm living right. I better make sure that things, because God's still judging. It's to draw us back in line with God. It's God reaching forth His love. He's not trying to be a hard nose. I mean, He judged Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, they were done with. But to everybody else, it was a warning. It was God saying, hey, this is a wake-up call. Look out. It's a warning, and there's warning signs that's going out today, church. And it's God trying to say, hey, wake up. Wake up. The alarm's sounding. Time is short. Make things right. Turn back to me. Seek me with the whole heart. The list goes on and on and on. But rarely do people really see that as what's going on. They feel like as long as nothing's happening to them, everything must be okay. And that's not always true. Just because nothing's happening don't mean that we're getting by. Don't mean that God's putting His approval on things. That's not always the case. There's some things and some people that their judgment's coming later. God's going to judge, though, everything and everybody. In John 8 and 32 it says, And ye shall know the truth. And ye shall know the truth. Are you listening? And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That isn't what John said, but that's what Jesus said. Hebrews 13 and 18, he says, pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Think about that. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Have you prayed? Have you made that your prayer, that you have a good conscience, that you live that according to that way, live honestly? There's a lot of people, though, that they're living a lie. They're living the lie. They got everything all the way it's supposed to be. There's a young man that testified when we was at camp. And I was proud of him. I don't know him that well. I know his brother, though. Went to Bible school with his brother. And he's not what he used to be. Great, great preacher. I mean, preached circles around me today. When he was in Bible school, he preached circles around me when he come to Bible school than what I preach now. I mean, he could have preached convocation if he wanted to, if they had let him. He's that good of a preacher. But he still is, I'm sure, if he'll preach the right thing. But he talked about his brother talked and said that he knew Stephanie when to lift his hands. He said, and he goes, I even knew when to cry. He said, I knew all the ins and outs. I knew when to finally get up and go to the altar. He goes, I knew how to play the part exactly the way it needed to be played. Brother Lynam, he said he knew how to do it all. But it was a front. He had that mask on. He was living the lie. And there was a lot of people that they're doing that very thing all too often. But God's reaching out one more time. And in Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4, it says this, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. There's a lot of people, they're dying to ascend to the hill of the Lord. They're pressing their way in to ascend into the hill of the Lord. They're doing everything they can, trying to reach and go higher in the things of the Lord. But you know what? It says, who shall stand in this holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's who's going to do it. There's going to be no vanity, no deceitful. That's vanity talking about no lying. Deceitful, not to deceive. And I'm talking about lying tonight. I'm talking about people lying, and I'm talking about people living the lie. We're not going to ascend to the hill of the Lord. We're not going to ascend to His holy hill. We're not going to ascend to the presence of God as long as we have lying, vanity in our heart, and deceitfulness. So I haven't been trying to deceive people. I haven't been going around doing those things. But I'm talking about if we're living a lie, then we're deceiving. I want us to stand. He said, and ye shall know the truth. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Tonight I've tried my best to tell you the truth. I want us to bow our heads. Father, we thank you. God, that we know the truth. We thank you, Lord. We have your word. Lord, we don't just have to sit and listen to a preacher. God, we don't have to sit and listen to the assistant pastor, youth pastor, preach and wonder if it's right or not. Lord, we have your word. the truth that it all comes back to. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have that truth. We thank you, Lord, that if we know the truth, that it can set us free. And Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, no matter who we are, no matter young or old, how long we've been saved, no matter where we're at, where we're at in life, Lord, that you care and you are concerned about us tonight. Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts right now, this very moment, Lord. If there's something within our heart, if we're living the lie, if we're putting a front on and making it seem like everything's okay, Lord, check us, Lord. Speak to us right now. Right now, Lord. God, if we have a problem with lying, if we have just those white lies, just those little lies, Lord, it seems like there's nothing wrong with them, Lord. God, it all comes back to that unruly evil thing that's within our mouth, our tongue, oh Lord. God, I ask you to help us, Lord. Lord, it's untamable, Lord. We can't do it within ourselves, but God, you can. And I pray, Lord, as we gather in these altars, Lord, that we will not try to tame it, Lord, but we will let you do it. God, we give it to you tonight. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to look at me for just one more moment, and then we're going to come. There's some people, and I'm not saying there's anybody here, but I just want to throw this out there. I've ran into people that had such problems with lying that if I was going to give them advice, when a person has a problem with pornography, anybody that's going to counsel and give them good counsel, one thing that they'll tell them is they need to find somebody to be accountable to. I've found people that are so bound by lying that yes, they go down and they truly repent. And they truly, I mean, you remember when you got saved and you cussed, you had problems? People can have problems like that with lying. But I don't think they ought to have, you know, year or 2 years. I'm not talking about that. There's some people, they need to be held accountable. They've got problems so bad that they need to be held accountable to somebody. And I'm not saying this for you to come and be accountable to me. We have a pastor, or another pastor, that's the head pastor. You can go to him. If he says to come to me, whatever. What I'm saying is there's people that they have things in their life that they're so bound by. Whether it be living a lie, telling lies, addictions, whatever it is. They need to find somebody to help them to be held accountable. Because they've tried so long to do it within themselves. They've tried to do it within themselves so long and they feel like there's no use. There's no way. But church, I'm here to tell you. I think it was